Jehani lo prema dana karuna pracho henu prabhu kota gela acharya taku kahamura Sarupa ka sanatan kaharasahu ragunatahu patita pavan kahamura bhata yuga Kaha kaviraj Heka kalehi kota gela gora natara Pashane kutibo mata Anale pashibo Goranga gohunera nere kota gele pabo se saba sangi rasangi ye koilo bilas se sangana pae akande Narotamodagas Yehanilo Premadana Koruna Prachur Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Nityai Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Bol. So I'll read the translation from this poem. He brought, this is in reference to departed great souls or Vaishnavas. Some of you may be familiar with the song. He brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy. Where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So we're going to speak a little bit about Ramanujacharya, who is the head of one of the four basic disciplic successions. There are four basic disciplic successions. One of them come from Lord Brahma, who we are members of, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Another one comes from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. And that's the disciplic succession that Ramanujacharya is a member of. And then we have the Kumaras, they're four small boys. And then someone you call Lord Shiva, or the Rudra Sampradaya. These are disciplic successions in which knowledge is passed down untouched from the very beginning of time. And this is an important aspect of Krishna consciousness, to have knowledge that has not been changed. Because once you change knowledge, you lose it. And you see this in most traditions where there's a weak link in the chain of the knowledge that's coming down, then things get really changed and screwed up, as they say. So, fortunately, we're members of the Brahma Sampradaya, and we have a list of all the great personalities who are members of that disciplic succession, and the knowledge has not been changed. And Ramanujacharya is in the Sri or Lakshmi Sampradaya, and the same way, that Sampradaya is still carrying on today, particularly in South India, like in Srirangam, and Andhra Pradesh. Andhra Pradesh is a state in South India. In those areas, basically South India. So, anyway, so he taught, it's a little complicated philosophy, something called Vishishta Dvaita, and I'll explain what that means. That means that there's a Supreme Personality, Krishna, and he has many energies, and in one sense, it's very similar to what we call Chinchabeda Beda Tattva. This is another philosophy that we follow, that those energies of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, are in one sense the same as him, and another sense, different. And the example given sometimes is like the sun. has the sunshine coming from it. And in one sense, you could say the sunshine is the same as the sun, just like people say, if it's sunny out, let the sun in. You know, open the curtains, let the sun in. But actually, when you open the curtains, the sun doesn't come in. The sunshine comes in, but they still use the name sun. So the sun and sunshine, in one sense, are considered to be the same and also different simultaneously. And that also applies to us, because we're like jiva souls, you know, tiny little things. And we are, in one sense, the same as Krishna, the Absolute, but in another sense, different. And the same in the sense that we are or have the same qualities as he does, but we have a different quantity of those qualities, like a drop of water. In one sense, you can understand the whole ocean by testing one drop of water, but in another sense, the drop of water and the ocean are actually different. Anyway, so let's go to the story, which is more interesting than philosophy. Once upon a time, there was this great personality around 908 AD, the year 908. His name was Natha Muni, and he compiled many of the ancient Vedas and hymns that were made by these poets in South India called the Alvars. You've heard of them, right? Many great poets were there. And some of them, let them in. Some of these Alvars were men and some of them were ladies. So there was actually openness at that particular time in Indian history to an equality between the different sexes as far as the spiritual advancement was concerned. Later on, in India, you found the influx of chauvinism due to the influence of the invaders. Like, India has been invaded since the year 100 AD by the Mughals, the Muslims, and then later on by the good old British. No one here is British, I hope. Anyway, so in 1908 AD, these hymns were put together by this personality named Natha Muni. He had a son whose name was Ishwar Muni. Muni means a sage. And he died early. He was the father of another great personality named Yamunacharya. Don't worry, you don't have to remember all these names. And so, Nakmuni, the grandfather of Yamunacharya, took sannyas when his son died. His son was the father of Yamunacharya. And so sannyas means, does everyone know what sannyas means? Yes? No? Well, you know. No, not everybody else. Sannyas means that you take a vow, just a full-time spirituality and service to God and Guru. And there's no question of developing one's own life apart from that. That means, of course, you know, there's celibacy and all the other things that go along with that. You know, I'm a sannyasi. I took sannyas in the year 1978, before any of you were born. Was anyone here born before? Oh, you are. Really? Don't look that old. So, anyway, and that was my vow of dedication to serving Prabhupada when I did that. So anyway, so Natha Muni took sannyas when his son died, and that, you know, that sometimes it takes a real shock in life to show you that things are temporary. That's one of the lessons in Bhagavad Gita, that Nasato Vijite Bhavo, that the unreality of this world is manifest by the temporary nature of this world. Or as it said, there's one early Greek philosopher said that you can't step into the same river twice. You understand, the river is always flowing. So that's the nature of this world, it's always in flux. So if one tries to grab onto something, tries to own something, It's like we're talking to devotees today about owning a house here in India. It's an illusion. You can't own anything. Everything's always changing. It's like grabbing a soap bubble. So, anyway, so he took sannyas, and his son, as I said, his son passed away, but his grandson, actually, his Yamunacharya, was very intelligent. He had an argument with the king's pundit. Pundit means like the king's advisor, minister. And because the king's pundit wanted Yamunacharya's guru to pay taxes. And what happened is you either had to pay your taxes or die or defeat the king's pundit. So he went, and he was only 12 years old at this particular point. Brilliant kid. He went to the king's palace, and he challenged the king's pundit. And he said to the king's pundit, I'm going to give you three things you got to answer if you're going to win. He said, first of all, you have to prove to me that your mother is not barren. And you have to, defeat these. And you have to, I'm sorry, you have to prove to me your mother is barren. Yeah, I mean, barren. Barren lady means no children. You have to prove to me that the king is unrighteous. And you have to prove to me the queen is unchaste. So those three different things. So, of course, the pundit couldn't do any of those things because his mother obviously could not be barren or else he wouldn't have been a kid. So there's Yamunacharya. He was able to defeat them himself after he posed the question, even though the pundit couldn't, because he said, in India, a mother is considered barren if she only has one child. And then the king is not righteous because he assumes the karma of all the citizens. And then third one is, the queen is not chaste because she's married to the king, who is considered to be the sum of all what we call the demigods. So anyway, so in this way he won, and he got half of the kingdom. So this Yamunacharya, that's not the end of the story about Yamunacharya. It's an interesting story. That so his grandfather, remember Nath Muni, who took sannyas, didn't want his grandson just to become an ordinary king. He thought his grandson could actually become a great preacher, you know, a great personality, great spiritualist. So he sent one of his assistants to see the king, but his assistant couldn't get in to see the king. So his assistant started to provide spinach for the king every day to the king's kitchen. And so every day there's a really nice spinach, some sort of spinach. It's called Tudu Valai. Never heard of it before. Maybe you know what it is. Anyway, and then one day he stopped providing it, and the king asked, the king, of course, that's Yamunacharya, he asked, what happened to the spinach? And the king said, where's my spinach? And the cook said, well, the guy didn't bring it anywhere. And the king said, bring him to me. He finally was able to see. And this personality began to preach to Yamunacharya and basically convinced him to renounce the kingdom, to give up everything. And actually, Yamunacharya became a great sannyasi at that point, too, because he convinced him by telling him about the non-eternality, the temporary nature of this world. Because whatever you acquire in this world, guess what? Can't keep it. Can't keep it. But whatever you acquire spiritually, you get to keep from one lifetime to another. Like if you would become 10% Krishna conscious in this life, in the next life, you start from that point. But everything else you lose. It's like that Greek myth, the myth of Sisyphus. Anyone's heard of that before? No. Sisyphus is a character in Greek mythology, and he was punished by going to hell. Nice place. Prabhupada actually said London is hell, but anyway. Because there's nobody here from the UK, I can say that. So he was punished by going to hell, and his punishment was to roll a stone up a hill and then have the stone roll down again, and have the roll the stone up again, and have the stone roll down again, eternally, practically eternally. So you may think that's pretty hellish. But actually, that's our situation. Because we're born, we have to go to school, we have to get punished by our parents, right? In India, you have very strict punishment. A stick, you know. Even Yashoda Mahi, she was running after Krishna with a stick. So you have to get punished by your parents, go to school, take tests, grow up, meet the wife or husband of your dreams. What sort of dreams? Who knows? But anyway, so sorry about that. It's a sannyas statement. So, and then get old, get sick, die, and guess what? Start again. That's pretty, not only boring, that's pretty painful. I mean, how many times do we have to go to school and have to take tests? Isn't it? Yeah. He's a doctor, you know, next life become a doctor again. Oh my God. Get another daughter in your next life. Worry about her. Anyway, so that's how this Yamunacharya was preached to. And he said, yep, you are right. And he headed for the hills. And he became a great personality, and who actually arranged and actually managed the temple in a place called Srirangam, which you mentioned before. Okay, so that's the story of Yamunacharya, whose disappearance day it is not today. It's Ramanujacharya. But the reason we're telling you is Yamunacharya is the guru of Ramanujacharya, this one. So what happened is that Ramanujacharya was born in the year 1017. And he was born as basically a relative of Yamunacharya. Not, you know, not actually like son or grandson, but like the aunt of the born from the aunt of Yamunacharya. So he was given the name Ramanujacharya because the word Ramanuja basically means the younger brother of Ram. Now, some of you may have heard about Ram before. He's one of the great incarnations of Krishna that appeared in India in a place called Ayodhya. And he had a brother named Lakshman. There's a whole book written about them. It's called the Ramayana. There's a whole other story about that. So he's considered to be an incarnation of Lakshman, also considered to be an incarnation of Balaram. And so he was very, very Brahminical, which means he came from a priestly caste. And he used to associate with a disciple of Yamunacharya. Remember, Yamunacharya was the guy who, not guy, but the person who was a king, and he took sannyas because his grandfather sent the guy to preach to him, and he took sannyas and he became a great personality. So he used to associate with a disciple of Yamunacharya. The disciple's name was Kanchipurna. And this disciple was from a non-priestly or a non-Brahmin family. Now in India at that time they had this caste system that basically people who weren't born in a particular type of family were looked down upon. There were actually different castes. And if you go to certain parts of India, especially Gujarat, there are castes and subcastes. Am I right? You know about these things. And if you have to get married, you have to marry someone not only in your caste, but your subcaste. Like it's the Prajapati caste, isn't it? How come I know all these things? Because I have a lot of friends who are Gujarati. So there's, anyway, so you had to marry within your caste, and you couldn't even associate with someone who's outside your caste, or otherwise it was considered contaminating. But in spirituality, spirituality transcends all these distinctions. And still in India, you do find these caste distinctions. We're trying to break through. That's one of my missions here in Govardhan, in India, is try to teach the people that we're actually all parts and parcels of Krishna. We're all sons of God. And we should not consider caste distinction, racism, chauvinism, or any of these, or even speciesism. Speciesism means that we consider ourselves better or more important because we're born in a human species. And then, this morning, we were driving to Vrindavan, the city of Vrindavan, and then we unfortunately hit one of the birds on the way and killed one of the birds. And I was thinking, oh, this is a great personality, a great resident of a holy place. And I felt just as bad as if we had hit someone, a human being. So Krishna consciousness transcends even speciesism, what to speak of racism, sexism, and all those other horrible things. So this particular individual was born in a non-Brahmin, non-priestly family. And Ramanuja was born in a high family, so he was associating with this particular person, who was also a disciple, Yamanacharya. And he had a problem because he was associating with this particular person because his wife she was actually a little proud, not very proud. She didn't like her husband associating with someone in a so-called lower caste. So we'll get to that point in a second. Also, there was a problem with Ramanujacharya's guru. In those days, you were given a guru based upon the village that you were in. It's called Kula Guru. Kula Guru means you have like a family guru or whatever. So his family guru's name was Yadava Prakash, who was what we call an impersonalist. An impersonalist is one who says that actually we're all God. Or we're all one. There's different varieties right there. We're all God, I'm God, you're God, we're all God, thank God, or God forbid, or whatever they say. Right? One time I was speaking to someone who said to me, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. And I said, that's fine. I said, your money's mine then. He didn't like that explanation. So, your money's my money, we're all the same person. So, he got very upset. So, that's called hypocrisy. So Yamunacharya had this guru who really was like really off the rails. That means bad. And his guru really was disrespectful to Krishna. Like his guru translated one particular verse where it says that Krishna's eyes are as red as a monkey's ass. It doesn't say that in the verse. Actually, the real translation is that eyes as red as a lotus flower. So he translated it like that, and Ramanuja got really upset with that, with his guru. He was actually crying, and the tears fell on the back of his guru, and his guru said, what's wrong, my dear disciple? And he said, Guru Dave, you're in Maya. But not basically that heavy, but he said, you don't know what you're talking about. So then another time he defeated his guru. He didn't like what his guru was talking about because his guru, gave a commentary on this one particular verse, Sarvakar Dham Brahma, which means everything is Brahman. So his guru said that meant everything is one. There's no difference between anything. But we understand there's variety in spirituality, not only oneness in spirituality. So, Ram got really upset with that, Ramanuja, just to make it short. And his guru wanted to kill him. Nice guru. Gotta be real careful when you pick a guru, you disagree with your guru. And so his guru had a fancy way of wanting to kill him. When you kill, if you kill a disciple, you can't just shoot him. You gotta do it right. I mean, you gotta figure out how to get freed from the sin from killing him too. So there's a whole procedure to killing disciples. So, joking aside, so what he did is he told Ramanuja that let's all go to the Ganges, which is quite a distance away. Let's take a picnic or let's take a camping trip, which is quite some distance away, you know, many, many, many days. And he told his other disciples that basically knock the guy off. And then after we knock the guy off, we're going to bathe in the Ganges, become free from sins. So they said, okay, Guru Maharaj. That's called... Anyway, so Ramanujacharya went with them on this trip, but his cousin was also on the trip, and his cousin knew what was going to happen. And his cousin told him, and Ramanuja left in the middle of the night, and he was Vishnu in the form of a forest dweller back to his own city. Actually, Ramanuja was from the city of Kanchi. Kanchi's in South India too, very close to Sri Rangam. We actually visited, you were with us, right? It was in Kanchipuram. So, that was really upsetting for the guru when he found his disciples still alive. So, but Ramanuja was so liberal, he continued to associate with his guru. And another time, his guru wanted to do some ghost busting. There was a girl, actually it was a daughter of the king, who had a ghost. And the guru said, we're going to get rid of this ghost, you know, Ghostbusters. And he couldn't do it. And Ramanuja said, you know, I'll do it. So then he got rid of the ghost. And the ghost actually said, before he left the girl's body, he said, the only person who can get rid of me is Ramanuja. And he sort of laughed at the guru. So the poor Guru Maharaj. So then let's get back to Ramanuja's wife. So Ramanuja's wife was really upset that Ramanuja was associating with this other so-called lower class person. Remember I mentioned that before? So one time, this, what's called a Shiksha Guru, his instructing guru, but he was accepting instruction from someone who was from a lower caste. So he invited him to take prasadam at his house, you know, spiritual food. So the guru came over a little earlier, took prasadam, and which was served by Ramanuja's wife, Raksha Kumbha was her name, it's not important to remember the name. And she basically, the wife of Ramanuja, took the remnants, that means the food the guru left over or the lower class associate of Ramanuja left over, and just fed it to the dogs and monkeys and cleaned up the whole place with cow dung. And Ramanuja, he asked, what happened to my husband's wife? Said, you know, I threw away all the remnants. He got really angry with his wife because his wife was very disrespectful to this great personality. Then something really happened that aggravated Ramanuja, that his wife and the wife of his guru were taking water from a well. And somehow or other, the water from the bucket, you know, the bucket well, of the wife of the guru's bucket fell into the bucket of the Ramanuja's wife, who was taking water from the well. And she just threw the water away. Ugh, water's contaminated. And when Ramanuja heard that, because his guru and the guru's wife got, Ramanuja developed a plan to leave home. And he was very tricky. So he told a Brahmin messenger, you know this story, you've heard this? He told the Brahmin messenger to take a message to my wife's mother and father that there's a marriage in the village and you should go to the village right away to help with the marriage. So it wasn't really a message from them. It was a message, forgery. So he transcendental trickery. Brahman took this message and he gave it to Ramanuja's wife. Ramanuja's wife said, I got to go for the wedding. And Ramanujacharya said, I'll join you later, honey. So, and so what happened, as soon as his wife left, he took sannyas. You've heard the story before? He has a famous story in India. And so then, actually I left a part of the story, but anyway, he took sannyas, and then he went to Srirangam, where Yamunacharya was, but Yamunacharya had passed away by this particular time. So, but Yamunacharya, let's see, I get to the point. So Yamunacharya was lying, his body was just lying there, and he had his fist clenched, actually right fist. Three fingers were actually clenched like that. And Ramanujacharya asked, was he always like that? And the disciples of Yamunacharya said, no, he's not always like that. And then Ramanujacharya knew why the fist was clenched. He said, he didn't accomplish in his lifetime. One is to teach the people in general about Krishna consciousness. And then even on the body of the Yamunacharya, who had passed away recently, number two was to name one disciple after a great sage named Parashara Muni. And number three is to write what we call Vedanta commentary. Vedanta, in the Vedic literatures, there's something called the Vedanta Sutra. Anyone's heard of the Vedanta Sutra before? Vedanta Sutra is like a commentary on the Upanishads. When you're talking about the Vedas, you have four original Vedas. The Rig Veda, Tharva Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda. And then you have a commentary on those, which are the Upanishads, the spiritual aspect. And then the commentary on the Upanishads is considered to be the Vedanta Sutra. And the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra is considered to be the Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So anyway, so these are the three things that Yamunacharya didn't accomplish. And so Ramanujacharya took that as his mission. And after he took sannyas and joined the mission of Yamunacharya after Yamunacharya had left, then he started initiating disciples. His first disciple was his cousin, whose name was Dasarathi. His second disciple was named Kuresh, who had a photographic memory and also would take notes when Ramanujacharya was speaking. Then Kuresh, his second disciple, preached to Ramanujacharya's previous spiritual master, who before was really bogus. Remember, mentioned his name? Yadava Prakash. And he converted him to the right understanding of the Vedas. And not only that, the mother of the guru said, my dear son, you're taking the wrong path. You should surrender to your disciple. Ramanuja. Remember? Ramanuja, he didn't like what his guru was teaching. So, therefore, after an argument with Ramanuja, who is now a sannyasi, he was defeated by Ramanujacharya, and he took initiation from his disciple. And his name became Govindaji Har, one of the great personalities. Very interesting story. So Ramanujacharya then left Kanchi, which is very close to Srirangam, and went to Srirangam, and he studied more of the philosophy, the Vaishnava philosophy in Srirangam, and then he was sent to learn a mantra that could free anyone from this material world and enable them to transcend this world. He was sent to learn a secret mantra. And this is a very interesting story. I remember in the 1960s and 70s, there was one yogi, I don't know if he was a yogi, whatever he was, from India, who was selling mantras. And he started off selling mantras for $35, and then when he became more popular, went to $125. And then he started giving lessons on levitation, seriously. And there were videos posted. Of course, there wasn't Facebook then, but you know, whatever there was at that time. I don't remember what we did, you know, just flip pages as a video or something. And then Nickelodeon or something. I don't remember. It's been so many years. So there was a video of of his levitation class. And to me, it looked just like he was bouncing on his bed. Did you ever see that? You saw that video. I thought, I can do that too. You know? So one day, just to show my disciples how spiritual I was, I had pictures of me on a trampoline while I was up in the air, and I posted it on Facebook. So, and I had them, Guru Maharaj is levitating. Do you remember that? I did that. I wasn't trying to fool anyone. So there was the secret mantra that was supposed to liberate anyone who heard the mantra. And so Ramanujacharya was sent to learn this mantra. And this is a bona fide mantra. It wasn't an imitation mantra like this bogus guy in the 1960s. Actually, in the 1960s, he would teach a secret, your own personal secret mantra to everybody. And you're not supposed to tell anyone, or else the mantra will lose all of its potency. So what happened is that some people started comparing their mantras, and it was all that their Om, no, actually, their Om, Aim, and Klim were the three mantras. Anyway, so now I told it all. But in this particular case, it's a different mantra, and this was a good mantra. So he went to this other guru to learn the mantra, and he began to serve him, and he begged many times, and the guru wouldn't give him the mantra. And the guru finally said, okay, here's the mantra, but it's a secret. If you reveal this to anyone, you're disobeying my instructions, you will go to hell. It's a good way to keep a secret, yeah. Anyway, so what happened is the guru gave him the mantra, he whispered in his ear. And the next thing after he got this mantra, he went up to the tallest building in the city, and he screamed out the mantra so everyone could hear it. He said, everybody repeat. And the mantra was Om Namo Narayanaya. If you go to Sri Rangam today, you'll actually hear this mantra repeated over and over and over and over again. They play it on the loudspeaker system there. So the guru came, and he was so angry, he said, you are going to hell. And he said to the guru, you know, with proper respect, he said, I accept that. I don't mind going to hell as long as these people can get liberated. And the guru at that point said, you are actually the guru, not me. So this was the compassion that he was ready to go to hell to save other people. And you find this throughout religious, spiritual history, that people are ready to sacrifice everything. In fact, Lord Chaitanya had one follower, Vasudev Dutt was everybody's karma to me, and let me stay in the material world and suffer everyone's karma if everybody can go out to the spiritual world. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him. Of course, he didn't do that to him. So, eventually, there's other stories. I guess I can tell some of these stories. He went to this place called Jagannath Puri. Anyone here been to Jagannath Puri? Some of you might have been to Jagannath Puri. And their worship there was really irregular. I think it probably still is. And he tried to relate it all. And he was actually the deity there. Lord Jagannath didn't like it. And he threw him through the air to another place named Kumarakshetra, and which is a place where there's a particular avatar of Krishna called Kurmadev. groups around India, tour groups around India. We had a lot of fun. It was like babysitting for me. They had a lot of fun, but you know. Remember, we had to do head counts on the bus and everything like that. And I had to chase after people. Watermelon, yeah. And every time that certain people saw watermelons, they stopped the bus, you know. Frustrated me. You remember that? That was Jayashree who used to do that, yeah. Watermelon. Oh, watermelon. And it was definitely a challenge for me to take care of so many people like that. And I never wanted to. It's what we call it, herding cats. Yeah, so anyway, imagine herding cat. You know, if you had 40 cats and you have to get them all, have to get them all in a line and impossible. So Jagannath Puri. So he went to Kurukshetra, and then later on he wrote the commentary on the Vedanta, which I mentioned before. Then he had problems with the king. King Chola, he was a worshipper of Shiva. And of course Ramanujacharya was a worshipper of Vishnu Krishna. And so the king wanted Ramanujacharya to change his ways. And he called for Ramanujacharya, he said, come here. And he was ready to kill Ramanujacharya. So instead, Ramanujacharya's chief assistant, who had a photographic memory, Quraysh, he went dressed up as Ramanujacharya. And he refused to change his ways and stop worshiping Krishna. And the king blinded him, you know, took out his eyes. So shortly after that, the king actually died. He developed an infection in his throat. He was known as Mr. Worm Throat because he developed an infection in the throat, and he died because of his offense. So, but Quraysh was blind at that point, and he was the most important servant or assistant of Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya told him to go before the deity in Kanchipuram, whose name was Sanskrit, the king of wish-fulfilling deities, to go before the deities and ask for his eyes back. So this Quraysh, showing what a great personality Quraysh was, but instead of asking for his eyes, he would be forgiven. Amazing. See, because forgiveness is the sign of a great personality. A great personality does not harbor any sort of vengeance or retribution towards anybody. He simply is interested in forgiving and loving everybody. That's actually a spiritualist. So then, this Quraysh, he went before Ramanujacharya, said, did you ask for your eyes back? And Ramanujacharya said, your eyes belong to Krishna. Your eyes also belong for serving Krishna under my directions. So you ask for your eyes back. So he goes back and he asks for his eyes back, and he gets his eyes back. Wow. Pretty interesting. There's another, so many interesting stories about Ramanujacharya. Once upon a time, Ramanujacharya was walking with his disciples on some beach area, and there was another gentleman who was walking, but he was walking and fanning his girlfriend and holding an umbrella over her head, walking backwards. You know, just like in some spiritual thing, he's going. And Ramanujacharya's disciples, they started laughing at the poor guy. And Ramanujacharya said, don't laugh at him. Call him here. And so this individual's name was Dhanardas, was asked by Ramanujacharya. And he said, I'm doing this because my girlfriend's eyes are just so attractive. And Ramanujacharya said, if I can show you someone with more attractive eyes, will you come with me? And the man was thinking, wow, where is that? Let's go. And Ramanujacharya said, come tonight. And so, but he, and then he takes this Dhanaras, this person, to see the deity in Srirangam, Lord Ranganath. And he looks at the eyes of the deity and he says, wow. He says, now you get married to your girlfriend. And he becomes so devoted and detached, and so does his girlfriend, his wife at this particular juncture, becomes so devoted that Ramanujacharya teaches his single, you know, brahmachari disciples a lesson, because they're criticizing this guy who just got married. They're thinking, you know, hey, we're good. We're renounced from this world. You know, this guy married, you know. Sometimes you find this, you know, the discrimination between the different ashrams. It's called ashrams. You know, there's brahmachari, grahastha. Brahmachari means single. Grahastha means married. So brahmachari is thinking, you know, we're cool here. And they were criticizing this married person who was actually a great devotee. So Ramanujacharya had a whole plan, had to prove to them that this married person was a better devotee than them. So he said, okay, let's see. So in the middle of the night, all these brahmacharyas and sannyasis were sleeping, and Ramanujacharya switched their clothes and put them with another person like that. You know, these details. And start together because they thought the other clothes had to attach to their clothes. And remember, brahmacharis don't have to their, you know, so one cloth. They were just, God, you took my clothes. Anything else? He told some of the go over to person's house and jewelry from his wife while she was sleeping. That's pretty hard to steal the jewelry. So anyway, so they snuck over to the house and they took the jewelry off of this lady. Somehow they didn't disturb her too much. They took the jewelry off the lady, and when she turned over, they ran away. And so then Ramanujacharya told these brahmacharis, the single guys, you go and look in the window and see the guy goes back to see his wife. So he says to his wife, why do you only have jewelry on half your body? And she says, well, the brahmacharis were taking the jewelry off half my body and I turned over so they could take the other half of jewelry. But they got scared away. And then the married person, Dhanaras, he criticizes his wife. He says, why did you scare them away? You should have given them everything. And so when the brahmacharis were looking at that, and they thought, phew, attached to something in Sanskrit, a negative, or giving something up, but you purposes. So if you can use something for spirituality, it should not be given up. And if you don't use it, it's called, in Sanskrit, it's called falgu vairagya, which means false renunciation or artificial renunciation. Like anything that can be used. Even money can be used in spirituality or Krishna consciousness. So, later on, when it got the disciples begged him to remain a little while longer, and he gave three more instructions before he left this world. One was to always serve the Vaishnavas, two, to have faith in the Vedas and the devotees, and three, to conquer lust, anger, and greed, and four, to worship Narayan or Krishna. So he left this world with his head on the lap of Govinda, and left his body in Srirangam, which I mentioned before. And he also left deities of himself in Srirangam. And if you go to Srirangam, you can actually see the Lord Ranganath, who has such beautiful eyes that you will forget about everything. So that's the story of Ramanujacharya. Do any of you have stories? Not stories, questions. Not stories. About anything.
I have to say,
yeah.
What is the difference
between Ramanujacharya? This is that way. And a Chintu Tabra? Basically, no difference. There's no difference. I mean, basically, it's the closest thing to a Chintu Beta Beta Tattva. That means, a Chintu means inconceivable, and a Beta Abeta Tattva means one different and non-different simultaneously. So that means that everything is God's energy, and it's in one sense the same as God, and in another sense different. Very simple to understand. Whereas Sripad Madhvacharya stressed more on what we call duality, that there's a radical difference between the Supreme God, Krishna or Vishnu, and his energies. So we're more inclined to accept a Chinchabeta Beta Tattva, which is, you know, there's an inconceivable oneness and difference simultaneously. So basically, Ramanujas is for all intents and purposes, it's the same as a Chinchabeta Beta Tattva. And that's purified oneness. But Dvaita, Dvaita means duality, Advaita means not duality or oneness. When you put the Sanskrit translation, two, dual. That's where the word dual comes from. And Dvaita. Many words in English, in Spanish, and other, most other come from Sanskrit. Like you have the word, like in yoga, which you're probably familiar with, that Patanjali teaches, that one of the purposes of yoga is just the vritti, is stop the turning of the mind. So in English, that word vritti, which is like turning, becomes invert, revert, subvert, pervert, isn't it? Well, the vert, you know, the turning around. So it's a,
not right.
What's that?
Something's not right.
It's vert, you know, reversing, isn't it? Inversing, perversing. I don't want to use pervert anyway. But all those words, you know. So it's like stop the vritti, or the turning of the mind. So the purpose of the yoga system taught by Patanjali is to actually control the mind. Because as it's stated in the Gita, that the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and strong. Controlling it is more difficult than controlling the wind. Arjuna states that in the sixth chapter of the Gita. So in bhakti yoga, we find it quite easy, because if one is feeling devotion, then the mind becomes controlled quite easily. Like even in this material world, for a short time, someone is in love with someone, think of anything else, right? I mean, the mind is absorbed. There was one musical, I don't know if any of you know about this stuff, called West Side Story. I don't know if you ever heard about this. Where there was a guy who was chanting Maria all the time, because he was in love. You heard about it?
Yes.
It's Maria, Maria, I can never... Maria. You know about that, right? Anyway, one's in love, and if you're in love with Krishna, because Krishna's all attractive, then the mind naturally is no longer turning. Krishna Padara Vindaya. The whole mind. So that's the purpose of, you know, the Hatha Yoga system, under control. To do. So other questions? How many days are you all here for? 5, that's great. So tomorrow we're going to go on Parikrama. Can everybody join us?
Yes. What time?
Early. Before your exercises start in the morning. So we leave here at, not that early, 6:30 in the morning. It's a little cold at that time. We're going to do Govardhan, part of Govardhan Parikrama. We take actual 3 days to do the full Govardhan Parikrama. So the morning, let's say 3 or 4 hours every morning is taken up from 6:30 to, 9:30 or so to 10 in the morning, and we go see all these different places. Many people try to do this whole Parikrama in one day, but then you don't see anything.
Yeah.
And you don't hear anything. It's just like zoom, 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 and you feel you're praying that it'll be over soon. But we try to do a very peaceful where you can see the places and hear some Krishna katha, what happened, what's the significance of the place, and then, take our time, just get absorbed in Krishna's name at the same time, chanting and everything. So it's a much nicer experience going around. So one day is one half of the hill. We're going to do half of the hill tomorrow. Next day is another half. And then the third day we do Radha Kund. Some of you have heard of Radha Kund before. We take 4 hours to do Radha Kund because we go to all these... I've done that with us before. And we go to all these temples and explain what happened, many years ago in the temples and history and everything. So it's... Anyway, be an interesting experience. And we have more devotees joining us tomorrow from the United States and other places, I think. Okay? There's no other question. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
I have a little question.
Yeah.
Thursday, how many people do you want to stand with you when you come Thursday?
Come Thursday?
Radha-Kund.
To Radha-Kund? As many as want to come, yeah.
12 o'clock for your speaking there to the...
Thursday we have that, yeah. So how many... That's in the afternoon, yeah. So how many do you want?
It's up to you. I mean, we can
prepare. Everybody? We can have everybody. If everybody wants to come to Thursday afternoon, we have a program for the villagers at Radha Kund. Is they were trying to this equality here because there's the remnants of the caste system are still here, and many of the people here, worker class, discriminated against, and you'll get the so-called higher caste, there, these are quotes, who won't even talk to them. Treat them really bad. It's actually a horrible system. And so we're trying to establish a different culture. And one of the things we're doing is we have a center in Radha Kund. Actually, we also have a center in the city of Govardhan, too. And actually two centers here now. And then also we have programs in Radha Kund to feed people and to clean the area. There's different aspects of the culture here. As much as they have the spirituality, there's things that are not so desirable, like people don't clean very well, and there's garbage strewn everywhere. So it has to change. It has to change. Even though it's such a spiritual place, then... Anyway, people just don't respect it properly. So as we approach the different aspects of this place, we should be very respectful of the people and of the locations. And so that's one of the strategies that we have, is to equality of all. Cultivate many of these different people and bring them into Krishna consciousness as much as everybody. Of course, they're all Krishna conscious in one sense, but bring them into the very center of the mission. And so, you're all welcome to come on Thursday at noon, right? And there'll be a big feast. Probably many of you are vegan, right? I know I am. But it's not a vegan feast, no.
Actually,
will be, but the rest will be.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. You're great. Tomorrow's program, I guess you all have your... Didn't rent a house here because I had over $2,500. And they're all paying like $40 a night for a room.
Already paid
for the whole time. And then, you know, during the day, if any of you want to meet with me personally, we can talk about things or questions or anything. Like to get to know everybody. Nice. Anyway, but so now we'll see everybody tomorrow. Yes. You can get to bed early. It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah, we should get a chance to talk sometime.
Yeah. Do you want to talk now?
Let's see, what time is it? Well, 6:10. We can talk for a few minutes, but then I take rest early, got a lot of things to do. Okay. Haribo. Actually, we should show everybody on Facebook all the nice yogis. These are all Goku yoga people.
Haribo.
Goku yoga. Hijai. Nalini Khan Bog. Go yoga. And some of the devotees here, you know, we had some devotees from Fiji here, some of the devotees from New Zealand, some of the devotees from America, and